Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to this, the bonus part of today's FYI episode on national parks in my country, the United States of America. And if you haven't noticed, I am definitely a fan, and I highly recommend to anybody who is interested in adventure and discovering amazing places with some of the greatest views you'll ever see, that's a national park in the United States. And they're all so different as well. Now, I have to say, as somebody who lives in Spain, we're quite lucky as well. We have some truly amazing, tremendous national parks. And like the ones in the United States, they're quite varied. They're quite different. And I think that's important too, because if all of them are just green trees, well, that's cool, but you might get sick of it. But if some of them have glaciers, and as I said, we can't forget about the national parks in the United States and in Alaska, Denali, which have glaciers and things like that. So you've got every kind of environment you could possibly think of, from frozen tundras to deserts to plains. An area of the United States that's very, very well known is the Great Plains, La Parte Plana. So, as I said, if you're looking for variety, you'll find that in the United States. You'll also find it in Spain, but on a much smaller scale, naturally. I'll tell you about some of the national parks that I've been to, and as I said, they were all very different, and they were all pretty close to each other, so that's interesting too. They were all, you'd think, because they were all in California, Arizona, and if you know your geography, those states are bordering each other, and they were all quite different. They were all unique in their own way. I'll start off with the Joshua Tree, and yes, U2 fans de Udo. The Joshua Tree is not just a U2 album. It's a kind of tree that you will only find in the Joshua Tree National Park. And it is a tree that kind of looks a little bit like it's a hybrid between a tree and a cactus. Remember, the plural of cactus is cacti, no, it's cactuses. So the Joshua Tree, and the best way to describe that was it seemed like a city made of stone. So like this, you know, prehistoric city, because these huge boulders, una palabra que vimos en la primera parte, pedruscos enormes, and you climb these rocks and you walk between them and you walk around. But there's one thing that I didn't know. These rocks glow in the dark under the moonlight. Ahora viste lo que quería decir. They glow in the dark. So we were hiking, haciendo senderismo, climbing rocks. Acuérdate, la palabra climb tiene una B muda. And when the sun started to go down, my friend whipped out some beers. To whip out is sacar. And he whipped out some beers, and we were sitting on top of this huge boulder, and the sun started to go down, and of course, you got the beautiful colors of the California sky, and right now I close my eyes and I can see that view, because I've never seen it before, and I don't know when I'll see it again. And as the sun came down after the show of colorful lights that was the sunset, the moon came out, and it shined on these rocks, and they glowed. And it was incredible, because I was sitting on a rock in the middle of this city of rocks, like mountainous looking rocks. There's some rocks you could probably consider a mountain, and they're glowing. And I could literally see the curvature of the earth. I felt like I was in a planetarium, because aside from the glowing rocks, the good company, when I looked up at that night sky, I think I saw every star in the Milky Way and even in other galaxies. It was, as you can tell by my voice, such a unique experience. That's the Joshua Tree. And remember, I just spent 6 hours there. I didn't even camp out. I was living in Hollywood at the time, and a friend of mine said, hey, do you want to go hiking out at the Joshua Tree? And I said, yeah, hell yeah, dude. I want to do some outdoor stuff. California is, you know, very well known for being a beautiful state. And I was like, well, while I'm out here, ya que estoy aquí, you know, being from somebody from the East Coast, I want to see your national parks too. And it was funny because I showed up that morning wearing a pair of jeans, some dress shoes, and a leather jacket, and like a button-down shirt. My friend, I'll never forget it, he looked at me and he said, dude, you look like you're going to a bar, a club. I guess I didn't dress for the occasion. But I have to say, when I was, there climbing up these rocks, and I was literally between a rock and a hard place. ¿Conocéis esta expresión? To be between a rock and a hard place is entre la espada y la pared. So I was literally, pushing my back against the rock, you know, to climb up. And my friends were laughing. And I said, you guys didn't think I was going to last, durar. But this leather jacket is rugged. Rugged is something that's duradero, que aguanta mucho. It's rugged. And I survived. The leather jacket, you know, had maybe a couple scratches on it, the shoes, but the jeans, maybe a little rip, a little tear in them. But that was it. The rest was just beautiful. And I'll have that memory forever when I close my eyes, that night sky at the Joshua tree. And that time of day, I think the time of day is very important too. You know, a sunset going into night, that's always a lovely moment. The next one is the Grand Canyon. And what can I say about the Grand Canyon? What can't I say about the Grand Canyon? You could spend weeks there and still not discover the Grand Canyon. I spent a few hours there and I almost felt overwhelmed, abrumado. Like I wanted to do so much, but I didn't know where to start because it was just huge. And so this is why I'm going to give you guys some tips a little bit later on. Because yeah, you don't want to plan too much. You want to wing it a little bit, como decimos. But it's also good to have a plan, especially when these places are so massive. They're so ginormous. Do you know this word? It's a mix of the word gigantic and enormous. Ginormous. So the Grand Canyon, what can I tell you about it? I need to go back. I feel like I went there, I took a picture, I saw it, I was there, I experienced it. But just like the Joshua tree, I just saw a little corner of that park in just one season. Every season, those parks look different as well, just like any national park, because of the foliage. The foliage is the leaves on the trees. So obviously a desert park will look a little bit different than one that is very lush because of the different seasons. But the Grand Canyon, it's definitely one worth seeing. And I would recommend, don't do what I did. I didn't give it enough time. I said, okay, I'll go there. I'll take the picture. I'll have a, you know, no. You gotta give it time. And that depends on how much time you have. Obviously, if you have 2 days, then you do a 2-day plan. And you got everything from riding a donkey, un burro, down into the canyon to taking helicopter rides, you know, in a chopper. You know this word? The word chopper is another word to say helicopter. And you don't believe it? Put your head by the blades of a helicopter and see what happens. It will chop off your head. hey, it's true. Chop, 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 chop. So I didn't do the helicopter ride. So the good thing is these places are great places to go back to and rediscover as well. A couple tips that I have for you, some pointers. Let's talk about peak season and off-peak season. Now you say temporada alta y temporada baja. Well, what they recommend, and I was checking out some websites, some websites, official websites from the National Public Parks page. And they said to go in the shoulder seasons. So the shoulder seasons are what they call when kids go back to school or right when they get out. So it's like pre-season. It's like right before peak season is when you should go. Because if you go off peak, well, for example, I know, speaking of the Grand Canyon, that the North Peak is closed most of the winter due to snow and icy conditions. So you need to know, you know, what's going on. You're like, oh, we'll just go in December. Are you sure? You sure you're not going to freeze your butt off, you know? So it's better, they say, they recommend trying to go right before peak season starts or right as it ends. And again, peak, temporada alta, off peak, temporada baja. As I was getting at before too, plan ahead, no? Con antelación, I love this word. Plan is planificar, pero plan ahead is planificar con antelación. It's very American. And yes, you don't want to have every minute planned. The whole idea is you're going into nature, you know. You're going into the great outdoors. Otra forma de decir, el aire libre, the great outdoors. I love it. You know what? Just doing this podcast right now makes me feel like standing up and putting my microphone down and going for a walk, going for a hike. The good news is once you guys listen to it, you can take the podcast on a hike. And that's one of the wonderful things about podcasts. You can take them with you on your adventures to American national parks. So that's a rule I live by too. Plan ahead. But now in this post-COVID world, nobody's planning ahead. But well, when you're going to go to a place that's that big, it's sprawling. This is a great word, sprawling. We use sprawling a lot to talk about cities as well. Sprawling. Let's see what word reference has to say. En expansión, en crecimiento, enormous, right? So when you go to one of these sprawling national parks, especially one as big as Yellowstone or these bigger ones, it can be very overwhelming. I told you, I was overwhelmed, abrumado, at the Grand Canyon. Because you don't know, where do I start? What do I see? Do I go see the monuments? And you start to get really nervous and you start to fret. To fret is another way to say to get nervous. Don't worry, don't fret, right? They're synonyms there. So you start to worry, you start to get nervous. Oh man, how many historic landmarks are we going to check off our list? And can we fit this in our trip itinerary? And you start to drive yourself crazy. So what they recommend is pick an objective. You know, we want to not just, I want to see as many monuments as possible. You know why? Because that's like sightseeing in the city. Why do you want to do that? You want to go nice and easy at a different pace, otro ritmo, right? Anybody who hikes knows sometimes you want to go fast, but sometimes you just want to enjoy that view and slow down a little bit. So you don't want to be like running around. That's what we do in our everyday life. That's why we call la rutina the rat race. We're running around all the time. So have a plan, a loose plan. Like instead of I want to see 50 different monuments, well, we want to hike 12 miles or 15 miles. So we'll start at this, we'll see this, this, and this. And you kind of like, you know, you plan it around your walk, around your visit. And many of these parks as well, you can drive to different areas, so you can plan more precisely. Now, this is one I don't have to tell you, but maybe I should anyway. Pack light. To pack light means don't overpack. Don't put too much in your suitcase. We have an idiom in English when somebody overpacks, when they say, we say, you brought everything but the kitchen sink. Has traído todo menos el lavabo de la cocina. You brought everything but the kitchen sink. So you don't have to pack too much, especially if you're going in the summer months and things like this. Especially clothes. Clothes, ropa. And why? Well, because most parks there, and this is according to their website, su página web. We don't say according to their web. We would say according to their website. Ya sé que cuesta otra sílaba, pero así lo decimos. Most parks have laundry facilities on site, instalaciones de lavar ropa. So you guys, you know, when you're coming home from your walk and having a beer maybe over at the lodge, ahora vamos a mirar esa palabra, you know, you throw a load of laundry in. A load is una carga, I think you call it in Spanish, una colada. Right? Una colada. So, yeah, why not? Why not? Do some laundry. I do that when I went to Japan for 2 weeks. I said, I don't want to check suitcases every time. I don't want to drag suitcases around. So I made sure when I reserved places to stay, when I reserved my lodging, ahí está esa palabra otra vez, ¿eh? Y ahí vamos. Alojamiento. When I reserved my lodging, I looked at, okay, where do they have, you know, place, does this place have a laundry room or washing facilities at least? And then this was my next thing. Then I was like, okay, well, if it's going to be double the price in Bangkok, I'll wait till I get to Phuket tomorrow and I'll wash my laundry. So that's another thing too. You got to see where it's going to be more expensive. However, I think at national parks in the United States, you're probably going to get the same price all throughout, now throughout every park in the national park system. So lodge, what is a lodge? Well, we just said lodging is alojamiento. So a lodge is when you go skiing, it's that place at the bottom, la cabaña, the lodge, but it's also alojamiento, hotel. L-O-D-G-E. And every park has a lodge, and that's where the park ranger is, right? The park ranger is the person who takes care of the park. And there's another good tip for you, speaking of the lodge, before we get into lodging in the lodge, park rangers, when you get there, check in, go to the lodge and say, hey, how's it going? We just got here from... They'll give you information. They'll give you maps. And they'll give you information up to the minute, which is very important. You need to know if roads are closed, if there are rocks falling, if there's an area where there's fire, un incendio. You need to know all this stuff. Some areas are also under construction. So a great thing to do is check in, fichar, with your park ranger when you get to the lodge. And the good thing about the lodges, I think they remind me a little bit of paradores in Spain. They have the prime location. So since they're owned by the government, owned and operated by the government, well, these places have prime real estate, inmobiliaria. They're smack dab in the middle of the park with gorgeous views. And you know what? You know what you're going to get. I think that's another thing. I've never stayed in a parador. I've been meaning to. It seems like a wonderful experience. Now, some of these facilities are a little bit older. So when I'm saying paradores to you guys in Spain, don't expect luxury. Some are more luxurious than others. Some have been remodeled. Of course, it's a question of you have over 400 parks. Well, you know, you can't give everybody money every year. So you have to decide and you have to prioritize. And I imagine that's another job that these park rangers and officials have to do, aside from making sure that everything is under control and obviously preservation of nature, which is their ultimate goal. So best views, you know, best customer service, if you will, that's definitely at a lodge. But hey, if you're feeling really adventurous, you can camp out, right? To go camping or to camp out is hacer camping under the stars, bajo las estrellas. Yeah, why not? Now, why not? Bears, I don't know, bears? Okay, maybe that's a good excuse. But hey, you know, it's got to be a beautiful view to look up and, you know, lying in your sleeping bag and you look up and you're seeing, you know, the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper or whatever, you know, anything in our constellation, any amazing display of stars. And that's got to be amazing. But again, if you can get over that fear of wild animals, of wildlife, para usar la palabra que vimos antes. But you know what they recommend? Then they said, hey, if you're a little bit scared about camping out, or if you're a little bit reluctant, reacio, which is understandable, they understand. And what they recommend is you just do it one night, just to get the experience. And they say, this is their words, okay? The National Park Service, the NPS, the benefits outweigh the discomforts. The benefits, los beneficios o ventajas, outweigh, sobrepesan. We looked at that word also to weigh in the first part of the show. But they outweigh the discomforts of sleeping out under the stars. I don't know about you guys, but I would do it. I'm pretty adventurous. Now, I have to admit, I'd be giving my wife a hard time all night. Babe, did you hear that? What was that noise? And of course, my wife, I didn't hear anything. And I'm like, no, I heard it. It sounds like a bear. And she's like, would you please go back to sleep? Yeah, I'm the scaredy cat. If you had to choose one in this family, I'm the scaredy cat. All right, I also looked at a survival kit. Now, this is not a survival kit to help you survive if you're lost in the Australian wilderness. This is a survival kit that you'll need if you're going to a national park. Iba a decir natural park. Claro, en español decís parques naturales. We say national. Y yo acabo de hacer un híbrido. I just said national. Hey, I always tell you guys, when you don't know a word, make it up. And since my brain is always working on two levels, I never know what language I'm speaking. So they recommend, if you're going to go camping, this is what you should have in your backpack. Obviously, a tent. Una tienda de campaña is a tent. El verbo is to pitch a tent. So you have to pitch your tent before dark. That's something I would recommend. Eso no viene en la página web. I'm telling you, pitch your tent before dark. Then you'll need a sleeping bag, obviously. Un saco de dormir. And they also recommend a sleeping pad, because if it's a rocky area, well, you might hurt your back. So if you have like a pad, something like a yoga mat or something like this. They also recommend a stove, but they recommend specific stoves that don't, well, that won't light the place on fire. Let's be honest, that's another problem we're going to talk about. Campfires. There are a lot of fires that are started, and this wilderness, these parks are destroyed in the blink of an eye, en un abrir y cerrar de los ojos. So a little portable stove, every time, you know, don't make sure you buy a good one with that stuff. You don't want to buy the cheap one and then end up burning down Yosemite. You don't want to be the person who burns down Yosemite. So obviously you'll need a lighter or two lighters just in case one doesn't work. Pyromaniacs, I know you're enjoying this, but please refrain from lighting fires. To refrain from. And guys, remember, every park is different. You have to follow the rules in each park. So some allow camping. Camping is also in certain areas. Campfires are in a certain area. So make sure you always observe all the rules and regulations in each park. Another thing that they recommend is flashlights. That's right, a flashlight. Now, the British say lantern, más como vosotros, linterna. The British say lantern. But for us, in the United States, a lantern is the one with fire, and a flashlight is the one that runs on batteries, pilas. So flashlights. I think a flashlight will save you in any situation, right? In the dark. Oh, and then they said, if you're in bear country, que hay una zona que es exclusivamente para los osos, which, think about that. If you're in bear country, if you're in bear country, you're in bear country. So what do you want them to do? Just bear with them. Ten paciencia con ellos. Bear with the bears. Okay, a bad joke, I know. Yeah, they recommend a bear bag. Now, I didn't look into this one because I have a feeling I'm not going to be staying right in the middle of bear country. So you have to be very cautious when, you know, lighting fires, also with garbage. That's another big problem. You know, don't leave anything behind, nothing. We call this littering. To litter is when you don't throw garbage in the garbage. So when you throw it in the garbage, you throw it out or you throw it away. But when you litter, you just throw it anywhere. So don't litter. That's another big thing. And we call somebody who litters a litter bug. Don't be a litter bug. Well, as we reach the end of the episode, I think you guys, it's quite clear, it's crystal clear that I am enamored by Osuena, enamorado, enamored by nature. And I think I got that from my dad. I mean, I grew up in the mountains. I grew up in the middle of nowhere. And when I say that, I mean that. I grew up in a national park, the Appalachian Mountains, which we didn't even talk about. So, wow, we'll have to do maybe another episode on national parks. And I think we could do a whole episode just on the Grand Canyon or just on some of these other ones that are very well known and not so well known. So let's look at some quotes before we say goodbye. Citas, quotes, some that I found quite inspiring, and I hope they inspire you too. The first one was said by Rembrandt, the artist Rembrandt, and he said, "Choose only one master, elige solo un maestro, nature." Oh, qué bonito, right? No matter what you do, nature will guide you. Nature will be your teacher. I think that's beautiful. And I know many of my patrons, I know you guys are nature lovers too. So I don't know if you are familiar with that one, but I love it. Choose only one master, nature. John Muir. Now, John Muir, we said this guy was instrumental. He was the father of national parks. And he says this one, which I feel the same. And maybe it's because I grew up in the mountains. But he said, "Going to the mountains is like going home." And I couldn't agree more. Como decimos, no podría estar más de acuerdo. The next one is a quote by, we don't say from so much as by, Isaac Newton. Well, you could, now that I think about it, a quote from or by Isaac Newton, you could say both. See, sometimes when you say something aloud, it sounds okay. So he said, "Nature is pleased with simplicity." La naturaleza le complace la simplicidad. And nature is no dummy. Y la naturaleza no es una tonta o es un tonto. I always think of nature as a woman because we call her Mother Nature. Mother Nature. So nature is no dummy. I agree, Isaac Newton. And Isaac Newton was no dummy. Yeah, he was a smart cookie. Now, the next two quotes are from people who dedicated their life's work to promoting the forest and promoting national parks and nature in general. And I'm talking about Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau. If you guys love nature and you haven't read Walden Woods or some of the other books that they have, you should. They're both, they knew each other. One was inspired by the other. And they're two people who fell in love with nature, realized the power of nature, and they wrote about it. So our first quote that we're looking at from these two is Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he said, "Adopt the pace of nature." We looked at the word pace, el ritmo. "Adopt the pace of nature. Her secret is patience." Qué bonito. Adopta el ritmo de la naturaleza. Su secreta es la paciencia. Her secret is patience. It's beautiful. You know, they learn from nature. That's, I feel like my dad taught me always, when you want the answers, look to nature. Nature is somehow smart. It survives. It knows what to do. It's patient. It's strong. It's everything, right? And the last quote, "I took a walk in the woods and came out taller than the trees." I think that's beautiful. I took a walk in the woods. Di un paseo por el bosque. You can say the woods or the forest. And I came out taller than the trees. And, well, Henry David Thoreau is very well known for his book, Walden Woods, also Civil Disobedience. If you have not checked him out, he's a leading transcendentalist. And yeah, it's all about living in nature. And he did that. He went and lived in a cabin in the middle of Walden Woods and to see if he could really, really connect with nature and disconnect from all these confines that we create in our everyday society. So guys, I'll end right there. Look to nature for the answers because she somehow knows what she's supposed to do and when she's supposed to do it. Thank you so much, everybody, for another awesome episode hanging out with you guys, teaching you a little bit about my country and some English. I hope you enjoyed this episode of FYI.